So in the last webinar, we found three vratams and three upasanas. They have been pointed out. And for a sakama purushaha, these vratams and upasanas, they become useful for worldly prosperity. Whereas for a nishkama purushaha or for a mumukshu, the very same upasana becomes useful for preparation. He gets chitta shuddhi, chitta naishchalyam, all those things. And for a mukta purushaha, for a jnani, these upasanas and vratams have no relevance at all. So having given these three upasanas, the Upanishad now continues to give some more upasana in the following sections. And that we will read today, section number 10. Nakanchana vasadau pratyachakshita tadvratam tasmadhyaya kaya chavidhaya bhakvannam prapnuyat aradhyasma annamitya chakshate etadvai mukato onagum radham mukato sma annagum radhyate etadvai madhyato onagum radham madhyato sma annagum radhyate etadva antato onagum radham antato sma annagum radhyate yayevam veda. So this section begins with another vratam, a fourth vratam, which is honoring of atithis or guests. Atithi pujanam, that is the topic here. And we have already seen in Sikshavalli where it was said Matrudevo bhava, Pitrudevo bhava, Acharya devo bhava, Atithi devo bhava. Where it was said that Atithi should be considered as Ishvara himself. Atithi devo bhava. And here the similar idea is given. And Atithi means what? We have seen this earlier. I have already given some other context earlier. Na vidyate titihi yasyasaha adithihi. The one who does not come with an appointment. Actually, we disrespect him more actually than other, the one who comes with appointment. Because where in Vedas, they say that the one who comes without appointment should be respected more. This we can understand only when we take the olden society into account, where there is no question of hotels and where selling food is prohibited and business on food is supposed to be even a sin, papa. And so if one has to go on a pilgrimage, there was no other way except depending on those grihasthas who value an atithi. And so if an atithi comes to one's house, it is because he is forced to come to that house because there is no other way for him. And when the situation presents like that, we take it as God's gift. So Narayana himself has come. That is how our tradition viewed an atithi. This was an important value in the olden days. Of course, not so much in the present days. There are so many other methods. We need not disturb anyone, that attitude is also there. Whereas in those days, it was very important. And that is why Upanishad says, Kanchana na pratyachakshita. Kanchana na pratyachakshita. One should not turn away, send back any person. Kanchana. And what type of person? Vasatav. Who has come for accommodation. Who can come for shelter. Because we should remember, if at all such a situation comes, it comes only during the pilgrimage most of the time. And how is pilgrimage done? They keep on walking and walking. They go to Kashi and all other pilgrim centers. They have to keep on walking. They have to spend days, months. Whenever sun sets and night comes, they cannot travel further. So wherever they are, they have to take shelter in some house or the other. And the question is what? For only for a night, for one night. It is not for a vacation of 30 days or 40 days or so on. It's just only a night perhaps. They need not go even inside the house. In the front porch, we call it thinna in Tamil. I don't know how people call it in other languages. In the front porch, that's just enough. So they want something to eat and then they sleep. And next morning, they get up and go away. So when such a person goes and this grahastha turns him away, what will happen to such people? That is why those days, the culture itself treated Adithis as personification of the Lord himself. So vasatav, vasati means stay. So vasati nimittam, for accommodation only, for staying purposes, when a person comes for accommodation, na pratyachakshita, one should not turn them away. Tad vratam, this is the vow, this is the vratam. And this is a general vratam for all people. And this is a particular vratam for anna, annada upasaka. Actually, we should remember what we discussed in the previous webinar. The anna, annada upasaka or pratishta, pratishtita, sambandha, all those things we talked about at that time. The pratishta, pratishtita, sambandha upasaka. And for that upasaka, the vratam becomes even more relevant. Because what is the upasana he is doing? The whole world is interdependent. There is nothing like this is independent of the other. The whole world is interdependent. And so when the other members of the society are going on a pilgrimage, they are dependent on me. That is what the grahastha thinks. And so I should help them so that in future, if I go on such a pilgrimage myself, I will also get similar help. Therefore, I will help others, then others will also help me. So mutually helping alone, the society can thrive because there is always this interdependence of every member of the society. And so vidushaha, anna annada upasaka, upasakasya idam vratam. This vow is for this anna, annada upasaka. Not only that, once accommodation is given, food also becomes necessary. They cannot carry food for a long time, going for long distances for several days. These days, one is not even sure that actually in those days when people take pilgrimage to Kashi and other places, one is not even sure whether one would return back. Generally, they fix up all the things to go to Kashi. Once all the duties are over, then only they want to undertake this pilgrimage. So that whether they return or not, it becomes immaterial because they have fulfilled all their duties. They even take leave of their relatives and friends and then go. And food for all these months cannot be taken. And so they naturally depend on the grahasthas. So the grahasthas not only should give lodging to them, they also should give boarding to them. And so the Upanishad says that you have some extra food with you all the time because an Atithi is going to come without an appointment. And now if you remember the previous section, one of the previous ratams we said was Annam Bahukurvita. Always cook some extra food. Bahukurvita, more food. Okay, suppose someone asks, how can I manage with such a cost of living? Now rice is sold for so many rupees a kilo. Those days, maybe they were all cheaper. Today it is so much. How can I manage? If somebody asks the question, the Upanishad says very categorically, I do not know how you manage. Tasmat yaya kayacha vidaya. By some means or the other, bahu annam prapuniyat. One should acquire and prepare plenty of annam. Yaya kayacha vidaya. That's by any means of legitimate way. It should be a dharmic way. One should adopt any technique, does not matter. A technique of dharmic means one has to adopt to gain more food. Yaya kayacha vidaya. Somehow or the other, gain more food. And the Upanishad quotes the traditional people. It says in our tradition, whenever a guest comes, What do they ask those people? You should come now, share food with us, and please leave after you take some rest, because we have got plenty of annam for you. That is what they used to say those days. So this is in quotation. This section is going to be in quotation, which is the statement of the grahastha. Aradhi asmai annam. Food has been already prepared for the guests. So that is what the grahastha announces. So it should be in quotation. Therefore, you need not hesitate. You can happily come and share food. That is the idea. Unlike today, you know, not even before they enter, what we say, I am sure you have already taken your breakfast. Normally, you finish it at 8 a.m. We know it very well. So now you have come at 9 o'clock. You should have already finished your breakfast. They should not feel bad to even ask. Even before they ask, these grahasthas, they ask them and offer food to them to make them feel at home. Therefore, asmai atithaye, for these guests, aradhi have been prepared. What is prepared? Annam. Annam has been prepared for these guests. Thus, achakshate, we have to now supply the subject here, iti grahasthaha. Upasakaha achakshate. Thus the great upasakas, they declare whenever the guests come. Okay, not only it is necessary, it is a necessary vratam. The Upanishad says this will benefit the grahastha also. Even though this is going to be benefiting the pilgrim or the guest, it is benefiting the grahastha also. Because whatever he gives, it will not go waste. It is going to come to himself in a different context. That is the belief. Whatever I give to someone, I am going to get it sometime later. According to our shastras, whatever danam we give, it is ultimately going to come back to us only. This is a very important principle in our tradition. What you do to the world, the same thing the world will give back to you. If you are going to ill-treat the world, ill-treatment alone will come back to you. If you give plenty of money to the world, you will get back also plenty of money. Therefore, world is like a bank. Actually, I don't know whether that is a good example. These days, we don't even know by keeping money in the bank whether it is safer to you at all, whether you will get back at all or not. So those days, they did not trust anyone of the local banks or local any such institutions. They trusted in Lord. And the Lord's bank is the world. Therefore, you send love to the world, you receive love back from the world. That was the concept, that was the tradition. If you send hatred to the world, you also get back hatred only from the world. World is like a mirror. Whatever you do there, it will come to you back. So the Upanishad says, if you serve food in the best manner, you will also get food in the best manner. Etadvai mukadaha annam raddham. Mukadaha means best manner. Uttama prakarena, mukya prakarena. If you give food with this attitude, if the food is prepared and served in the best manner, later when he goes out, when this grahastha takes up a pilgrimage or when he goes out, he is placed in a similar situation. He will also get food in the best manner and served in the best manner. So, etat annam mukadaha raddham. Raddham means prepared and served. That will happen to them. Okay. Once that happens, what happens now? Mukadaha asmai annagum radyate. This person also will get food in the best manner. So if he serves food, prepares and serves the food in the best manner to the atithi, then when he goes out, he will also get food in the best manner, which is also served in the best manner. Instead, etadvai madhyataha annam raddham. So etat annam madhyataha raddham chet. If this food is prepared and served in a mediocre manner, madhyataha. If it is served in a mediocre manner, what will happen? Madhyataha asmai annam radyate. it will be served to him also in the same mediocre manner later, whenever he goes. And suppose, yetadvai antadaha annam raddham, if the annam is prepared and served in the lowest manner, antadaha, in a disrespectful manner, in the lowest manner, then what will happen? He will also be served in the lowest manner only. Because for some people, for dhanam itself, there are some special clothes. When you go to the cloth store, he will ask you, what for you are buying this? You say, this, I am buying it for dhanam, to give to some vadyar. They will say, okay, these are some varieties you can take from there. He already has got earmarked varieties to be given for dhanam. And similarly, if you ask for even for fruits or even, you know, those places, the palm leaves, he will ask whether it is for you or to give away. If it is for you, he will give you those tender, very beautiful palm leaves. If it is to give away to some vadyar or for some puja, he will have another variety. He will give you that variety. So why should we get dhanam in such a manner at all? So if we think that it is forced on us, it is better not to give. So if you are going to give dhanam in this manner, it is better not to give at all. Shraddha is very important. Shraddhaya adeyam, ashraddhaya adeyam. So if you want to give with lot of shraddha. Shraddha is very important. And Krishna says actually in the 17th chapter, it is considered to be a tamasic dhanam if it is given without shraddha. Buying the cheapest things and all that, they all come under tamasic dhanam. It will not give any benefit at all. So when we give, we have to give with the fullest heart. And here also, annam must be given. Whatever we eat, we give it to them. Whatever we eat, we share with them. Because he is a servant or a third person. Normally, this is very customary in many of the homes. When the servant maid, when she has to be given the coffee, the first degree decoction coffee already they have taken. Then second, third, fourth dilution only, many times they will give it to her. And these days, of course, they don't accept all that. They want the first, very first one, these days it looks. But such a dhanam is not dhanam at all. So, antatosma annagum radyate. That's what he will also get. So, give the best to the guests. Okay. Yaha evam veda. The one, yaha, the person who knows this and who also practices this. It is not adequate. He only knows. There are a lot of people who will preach, do this right thing and all that, but they won't do any of those things. So he should know this and also practices. Here, Veda does not mean upasana alone. Because in Annadhanam, where is upasana? There is no upasana there. It is a matter to be known and practiced. So yaha, evam Veda means yaha annadana mahimanam janati. The one who knows the mahima, the importance, the greatness of annadanam, the one who knows the glory of annadanam, that we have to supply here, the one who practices that. Now the Upanishad leaves the sentence incomplete. It says, yaha veda, evam veda, the one who practices, the one who knows that. It stops there. What happens to him? Shankaracharya, he completes the sentence by supplying what will happen to such a person. Saha tat palam anubhavati. Such a person will definitely get the palam of annadanam. He will get the fruits of this act, the noble act of annadanam. So with this, the fourth vratam, which is accommodating people and feeding people, that is over. So this is the fourth vratam. We already saw three vratams in the previous webinar, and this is the fourth vratam in this context. Now we are entering to some more upasanas that we will read. Kshema iti vachi, yoga kshema iti prana panayoho, karmeti hastayoho, gatiriti padayoho, vimuktiriti payau, iti manushi isamajnaha. Now in this portion, we are going to get some Brahma upasanas. Earlier it was anna, annada upasana, those kind of things. Now it is Brahma upasana. Brahma upasanani are given here. And of course, Brahman in its pure form can never be meditated upon. That we already know. It is not an object at all. Brahman is not an object at all to be meditated upon in the pure form. So the Brahman here is Guna Visishta Brahma Upasana. That means Brahman with various types of glories. Guna Visishta. So Guna Visishta Brahma Upasana or Saguna Brahma Upasana, we can call that also. And these glories are manifest all over the world. That we already know. As given in the Vibhuti Yoga, the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the glory of the Lord is manifest everywhere in creation. But in the first set of Upasana, we are going to take an individual, the individual organs for the Upasana. That is the glory of our various organs. Every organ of ours has a glory. And generally we see this glory as belonging to the organ. That's what we think. But in this Upasana, what do we see? We will see this glory as belonging to Brahman. They don't belong to the organ. If my eyes see, it is not the glory of eyes, it is the glory of Brahman. If my ears hear, it is not the glory of the ears, it is the glory of Brahman. And since the individual organs are taken for Upasana, we call it as Adhyatma Upasanani. Because these are individual organs are taken, it is called Adhyatma Upasanani, the residing in the individual, individual based. And later, we are going to take Adi Deva Upasanani, where the glories of Devatas, corresponding to the total, the Samashti, they are taken for Upasana. So Adhyatma refers to Vyashti glory, Adi Devam corresponds to Samashti glory or Devata glory. We are going to see both. So first the Adhyatma glory is what we are going to see, Adhyatma Upasanani. But the Upanishad does not use the word Adhyatma Upasana at all. But uses another word, it calls it Manushihi Samajnyaha. Manushihi, we can see this at the end of the sentence that we just read. Iti Manushihi Samajnyaha. Manushihi means what? Manushi means Adhyatmam. Adhyatmam samajnyaha, samajnyaha upasanani. So Manushihi samajnyaha means Adhyatma upasanani. And what are they? A few upasanas are given here. Kshema iti vachi. The first organ taken is vak. Vak means the speech, the organ of speech. And the Upanishad sees, what it says, that all the well-being of a person resides in the speech alone, in what he speaks. All his well-being resides only in that. A person can make his life because of nice speech, or a person can destroy his life also because of wrong speech also. Actually, in Sanskrit, there is a beautiful verse. It says, Lakshmir Vasati Jihvagre. Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, the goddess of wealth, she is in the tip of the tongue, Jihvagre. Jihvagre Mitra Bandavaha. Friends and relatives, Mitra Bandavaha, they are also in good relationship with you or not. Depends on what? Depends on how you speak to them or how you speak about them. Jihvagre Mitra Bandavaha. Bandhanam chaiva jigvahre, and the tip of the tongue alone is bondage, bandhanam, depending on what you speak. And jigvahre maranam dhruvam, even the maranam is on the tip of the tongue alone. If you speak one wrong word, it may result in somebody losing one's life even. So say the wrong thing, that means we invite so much of problem. So all worlds, so mangalam and amangalam, both are in vak, in words. Therefore, the Upanishad says, Vachi mangala rupena Brahma vartate. Brahman resides in the speech as kshemam. So, what upasana it is now? Brahma upasana only. But in what form? Kshema rupena Brahma upasana. Kshema is mangala rupena. Brahma upasana. Okay. Now, remember, for example, there's sales representatives. All sales representatives, they survey because of what? Only because of speech, because of the tongue only. Actually, it seems there was, people used to say some kind of a story. And this one person, he was trying to demonstrate his product. He tried his very best. It did not work well at all. The people were either, you know, they were having a lot of distrust, they don't believe, that kind of thing. So at the end, what he said, dear friends, I have shown an example of a competitor's product, and I will show our product in the next demonstration, and he went away. So people adopt all kinds of techniques to sell, and that is all power of their speech. So if you have tongue, you can manage in any situation. So kshema iti vachi, then yoga kshema iti prana pana yoho. The next one is prana and apana, exhalation and inhalation. Here prana and apana, that should not be taken as respiratory system and excretory system. Those people who attended the Tattvabodha lectures, they may perhaps remember that in that context, that was the meaning given. Whereas in this context, prana means exhalation and apana means inhalation. So this breathing, that alone is to be seen as yoga and kshema. And what do we mean by yoga and kshema? Actually, we have talked about this also earlier in some other context. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is given yoga kshema vahamyaham. Yoga means apraptasya praptihi, definition of yoga. Apraptasya praptihi, acquirement of what is not acquired. Apraptasya praptihi, acquirement of anything that is not already acquired. And kshema means praptasya rakshanam, whatever is acquired to safeguard. So if you want to put it in simple English terms, yoga means acquisition and kshema means preservation. And these two are to be seen in where? In prana and apana, in breathing. So upasana is to see yoga and kshema in prana and apana. Because if you remember, all acquisition and all preservation, they are possible only when a person is alive. Not only that, they will become meaningful only when he is alive only. For example, a big house is built. At the end of it, the guy is not there. What is the use? Actually, you know, there is a story. A person was offered all the land that he can run and cover between sunrise and sunset. So whatever distance he can cover, within this time, he can take all of them. The fellow ran and ran because his goal was to acquire as much as possible, more and more. So as the sun was about to set, he wanted to cover even more. So ran even faster and reached some distance. What happened? He just fell and died. Tell me, acquisition and preservation for whom now? Yes, he might have acquired a lot for whom, and preservation for whom? He is not even there. So we may say it is for children I have acquired. People might say, oh, it's for my children. Even then, the children can enjoy only when they are living and breathing. So prana and apana is the basis for both yoga and kshema. And therefore, meditate upon Brahman as yoga and kshema in prana and apana. So yoga kshema rupena. That meditation is done, yoga kshema rupena. Okay, here again we should remember, the Upanishad does not complete the sentence. Like the earlier case, here also it does not complete the sentence. The Upanishad leaves every sentence actually only half complete. That is, in the form of kshema, that's what it says. In walk, in the previous upasana, here in the form of kshema. So here we have to supply again, one should meditate Brahman. Brahma upasita. So vachi kshemaha. Iti Brahma Upasita, Vachi Kshemaha, Iti Brahma Upasita, Prana Pana Yoho, Yoga Kshemaha, Iti Brahma Upasita. So everywhere we have to add Brahma Upasita. Then Karmeti Hasta Yoho, Brahma Upasita. This we can understand very clearly. In the Hasta, in the hands, what is the power of hands? Karma only, action. All actions are done through hands. If you take a notebook and write really what all things you can do with your hand, it will be an inexhaustible list. And what else that can be done also, if you write that, it will be even more inexhaustible list. So all these glories are until when the hands are functioning well. For example, you go to a doctor and he gives you an injection in the hand. That one day, the entire hand becomes incapacitated. Then we realize how important is this hand. So that is not the glory of the hand, but it is the Brahman only, the glory of Brahman only. So hastayoho karma rupena brahma upasita, in the hands, in the form of action, do upasana on Brahman. Then padayoho gati iti brahma upasita. We can understand here again, padayoho, in the feet, as the gati movement, the value of leg will become clearer as we really grow old. Every joint in the body, every bone in the body, every muscle in the body, then we will realize what is happening to us as we grow old. So padayoho gati iti brahma upasita. Then payuhu vimuktihi iti. Payuhu, payuhu means the organ of excretion. Vimuktihi, vimuktihi means evacuation, removing, cleansing, whatever one may want to call. So one may think, why the Upanishad should talk about such upasana? They may talk, this is a dirty upasana, asaucham. You know, it is all our concept only. If you really think of any organ as inferior, we will know when that organ is not functional. Till that time, we may think it is inferior and superior, all that. When one organ is not functioning, one will really know the value of that. The excretory organ is as important as the mouth. Remember, if the cycle is not maintained, then a person cannot even survive. So this upasana is to get the idea that everything is sacred in the universe. There is nothing like unsacred. You can never look down upon anything. So respect every organ of your body. It is not your body, it is Brahman's glory. That is what one should imagine and do the upasana. It is Brahman's glory only. So therefore, never look down upon any part of the body. So vimuktihi iti payav brahma upasita iti manushi samajnaha. Thus is concluded the manushihi. But here we will have to note later, actually, there is one more upasana that will come from the next section. That should have been here, actually. For some reason, it is placed in the next section, that we can make a note right now. So, prajatihi amritam anandaha iti upaste. This is going to come in the next section. We will just briefly see it here. Upastam. Upastam means the reproductive organs, the genitals, the organs of regeneration. Also, Brahman must be meditated upon as the creative power or generative power. So this also comes under Adhyatma Upasana only, and the exact meaning we will see when we deal with it in the next section. So now we will read the next section of Upasana. Ata daivihi triptiriti vrishtau balamiti vidyuti yashayiti pashushu jyotiriti nakshatreshu prajatiramrutamanandayityupaste sarvamityakase. Atha daivihi. We have to supply again here samajnaha. We have to understand that. We have to supply samajnaha. Earlier manushihi samajnaha. Here daivihi samajnaha. So samajnaha means what? Upasanani. So daivihi means adi daiva upasanani. So now earlier we had the adhyatma upasana. Now it is adi daiva upasana. So we are going to take the macrocosmic forces. That's what we are going to do in this upasana, the macrocosmic forces. And we think that these forces belong to the nature. That is what we generally think. All these macrocosmic forces, we think they belong to the nature. But the Upanishad says they do not belong to the inert nature. Nature is made up of all five elements, which are all inert. But they belong to Chetanam, Brahma. These forces don't belong to the inert nature. They belong to Brahman. And so each power in nature will be taken, and we will meditate on Brahman as these powers manifest in various places. That is what we are going to do during this upasana. And before going to that, we will take an odd upasana out in this list. As we mentioned in the previous section, one of the upasanas belonging to the previous section is given here. So we will first deal with that upasana and take it out of this list of Deva upasana. Prajatihi amritam ananda iti upaste. This should be joined with the previous Adhyatma upasana. For some reason, it is given in the Adideva upasana. So we will take up this and see the meaning of the others later. Prajatihi amritam ananda iti upaste. It must come under manushihi. So here the organ is what? Upastha. Upastha means the organ of generation, the genitals. In what form the upasana should be done? Prajatihi, progeny, the kula parampara. It should be meditated as the kula parampara. And we should remember the whole parampara. The kula parampara, it is maintained because of what? Because of putra utpattihi, pautra utpattihi, by getting children, grandchildren. So that is how the whole parampara is maintained. Therefore, the creative organ is responsible for the parampara maintenance. If parampara has to continue to be sustained, the creative organ is responsible for that. Therefore, prajatihi, that means kula vriddhihi. That is why whenever a child is born, they call it vriddhi, sutakam. Sutakam in Tamil, it became sitakam. It is sutakam. So when some child is born, that is vriddhi, it is growth. Vriddhi means growth. Growth of the family tree. That's what happened. Then amritam. Amritam means immortality. Why it is immortality? Because the father is reborn in the form of child. Atma vai putra namasi. The father only is born in the form of a child. Because father alone enters into the wife. And again, he is reborn as a child. And so the child is supposed to be the image of the father, the parents. That is why medically speaking also, we find there is a genetic relationship. So all the trends, the shape, the character, they are all very similar to the parents. And the parents immortalize themselves through the children. The parents, even though physically they may be gone, they are present in the form of their children. So they immortalize themselves through the children. And that is why whenever a person dies, what do they write actually in the paper, in the newspaper, in the obituary column? They say, so-and-so is survived by so-and-so. That means what? That person still is, but not in that form, but in the form of his children. The person has not, even though he is dead physically, He survived in the form of their children. Later, he survives in the form of grandchildren. Actually, even the name of the grandchild is given after the grandfather. That is why in Tamil, we call it Peran. Peran means Peran. The one who has his name, his pair, his name. The same name is given, and so he survives through grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And so Amritam. And because of that, he survives all through. It is amritam, immortality. And finally, anandam. Anandam means pleasure of giving birth to a child. Seeing one's own creation is certainly an ananda. When the child is born, the father keeps the child on his lap and he touches each organ of the child. Angad, angad. Every organ of the child he touches. And he sees, oh, this is similar to my own organs. He sees himself only in that child. Seeing one's own creation is certainly a pleasure, an ananda. So in the form of progeny, immortality, and in the form of pleasure. So Brahman should be meditated on the organ of generation. So this upasana should be placed in the Adhyatma upasana list. And the others are Adideva upasana, which are going to be in the next section, which we just read, which we will see in the next webinar. యో వేదాదౌ స్వర ప్రోక్తో వేదాంతే చ ప్రతిష్ఠితః తస్య ప్రకృతిలీనస్య యః పరస్సమహేశ్వరః శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు.